Welcome to another edition of Morgan's Mailbag, where I give my real-time reactions to your comment, questions and insightful critiques about the content we've been serving up on Uncensored. As usual, they've all been chosen without my prior approval or even vague knowledge by those behind-the-scenes heroes, their words not mine, without whom I simply wouldn't be able to put out this show in such an annoying, drawn-out fashion. The always motivated, always awake Uncensored producers. OK, let's get started. We kick off with Dylan Mulvaney's new Days of Girlhood music video, where the former gay man sings about all the girl things can now do, like shopping, dolls and having a breakdown in the bath. We debated it.
Not one person on this panel can show me a woman that's as flamboyant and radical and twitching and twisting and acting like Dylan Mulvaney.
Are you insane? Did you watch the Barbie movie? What are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
At Brooke Page 1992 commented, as a trans woman, I do not associate with Dylan. Dylan is a character. He's mastered the craft of how to get rich. Well, look, whether you call Dylan Mulvaney she, he, whatever, the fact remains that Dylan Mulvaney identified until very recently as a gay man into Dylan Mulvaney's mid-20s. And I have a problem with someone who was a gay man until very recently suddenly saying, I'm a woman, and by the way, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make millions and millions of dollars openly mocking women. How can that be right? It's not. It's insulting. It is, in my view, something which enrages not only most women, but also enrages a lot of trans women like yourself who simply don't want to be parked alongside people like Dylan Mulvaney making money mocking women. That shouldn't be what this is about.
Love ya.
Well, swimmer Riley Gaines, who is campaigning for the rights of women in sport against trans athletes, was part of the Piers Pack.
Across the field consistently, if you look at the world record against the men on the men's side versus the world record on the women's side, consistently that athletic performance gap is 10 to 12%. Someone being a few inches taller than me, it does not make up for that 10 to 12% performance gap. We're talking about by having a man competing against a woman.
Monica Jackson said, as a biological woman, I'm a gatekeeper of womanhood. I've had periods, given birth, breastfeed, fed my children, went through menopause, had a hysterectomy and have been discriminated against because I'm a woman. Thank you, Riley, for standing up for my granddaughter. Well, yes, actually. Riley Gaines is a heroine, a real heroine. She's not transphobic. She's nothing against trans people, but she does believe passionately in defending women's rights. And I don't understand why every woman doesn't share Riley Gaines' passion to defend women's rights to fairness and equality. Because without that, what was the point of the suffragette movement 100 years ago? You may as well go back to the Dark Ages. And if you want that, go to Afghanistan and see how the Taliban treats women. So women have fought hard for rights to fairness and equality in the West. And the idea that that fairness and equality is being eroded at the altar of trans activism is just wrong. Comedian James Barr thought when it came to women's sport, he had the perfect answer. He didn't. Just to be clear, the Olympic Games, you'd have gender neutral.
Yes, it would, because the only reason women's sport exists is because men were gatekeeping sport for so long and then finally said, you know what, fine, have your own. But really, if we just remove gender...
How many biological
gender,
women?
If we remove
Hang
gender
on.
From sports, please let me finish my point, then we won't have this issue. Safety won't be an
so,
issue.
I'm sorry.
We can make sure that everyone has
that is so spectacularly ill-informed and dumb. Well, Tizzers 1232 wrote, my jaw dropped when James said, we don't need to separate sex categories in sport. The guy has no knowledge about anything. Well, he knows some things about some things. But the truth is, he admitted he'd never played sport. Because if he had played sport, he would have known why we separate the sexes. Just to remind everybody, the American women's national football soccer team once took on, I think it was the Dallas under-15s. Men. Boys. They were boys. And they got beaten about 8-2. And they were the best women's team in the world. The Olympics, they separate the sexes for a reason. And here's the reason. If they made it unisex, women would no longer win any medals. They would come last in pretty much every single Olympic event. It doesn't mean they're bad athletes. It just means they are not biologically able to compete with men. That's why we separate them, and that is why the trans argument about trans athletes in women's sport is so flawed. Well, Ben Shapiro is one of the most influential conservative commentators in the world. He returned to Uncensored to discuss his new documentary about America's fentanyl crisis. Almost a million of you have watched this encounter. When I quizzed Ben on whether there were parallels with the gun epidemic.
There's two main distinctions. One is that we actually have a right in the United States to keep and bear arms, whereas you do not have a right to actually ingest or distribute fentanyl. And two is that the solutions that are proposed for preventing the distribution of fentanyl in the United States are likely to be significantly more impactful than many of the gun regulations that have been proposed in order to stop the so-called gun violence epidemic.
At Kindface said, every time the fentanyl v. guns question is posed to Shapiro, every time he's exposed. He's never been able to meander his way around that question without looking trapped. Well, not sure about that. He's a very smart guy with a lot of very smart takes, but it's an interesting debate, isn't it? Why, if the two biggest killers of people in America right now are guns and fentanyl, would you want to say there should be new regulations and laws to stop the number of deaths from fentanyl and restrict people's access to fentanyl, but you wouldn't want to do the same thing with guns, which kill nearly 100,000 people a year in America? I don't get the difference. I know what they say the difference is, which is that you have a right under the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, to own a gun. You have a right to bear arms. OK. But now it is killing so many people. Shouldn't that right be looked at, amended perhaps again? Maybe bring it back in line with modern times? Isn't it time for fewer people to be killed by guns in America, exactly as we would want fewer people to be killed by fentanyl? I think the argument is pretty much the same to both. And if the only thing getting in the way of doing something about guns is rights, well, I'm not convinced. Sorry. We also address the topic everyone's been talking about, Candace Owen ending her relationship with Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire. Not that he was giving me much on that front. Was she fired or did she leave of her own volition?
I'm not going to speak to this topic, Piers.
At all. At User Jim commented, refusing to talk about Candace at all is super weak. At Rocker agreed, Ben refusing to talk about Candace says it all. They wanted to champion free speech, more like convenient speech. Well, to a point, as Ben said, he's not one of the people that runs the company. He's just the face on the editorial side. And he said he wasn't involved in the decision for Candace Owens to leave. So let's take him at his word. Then it is down to the people who made that decision to decide if they want to talk about it. As for Candace Owens, she's not been cancelled altogether. She's announced she's off to run her own platform. She has millions of followers. She'll be fine. There's no rule that requires Ben Shapiro or the Daily Wire to have to work with Candace Owens. My suspicion, pretty good suspicion, is that clearly her increasingly inflammatory comments about Israel, which many believed were anti-Semitic, were the catalyst for her departure from the Daily Wire. But let's wait and see what they may or may not say about it going forward. The subject of Rabbi Shmuley, who's become one of the most controversial commentators on Israel's war, also came up in my conversation with Ben.
I am dressed up as a Candace Owens Jew. Now, this is not a Christian child, this is a Jewish child. But if it would be, I got my Christian blood. Mmm, spicy, delicious. I got my Jewish nose. I have filth, because Jews are all filth. And more than anything else, what does Zadie have?
Money!
I mean, what is your reaction to that clip?
I mean, the phrase in Hebrew is that's what we would call a chilul Hashem, right? It's a desecration of God's name. And that sort of behavior is disgusting in any context. Frankly, I don't know an Orthodox Jew who feels differently about that.
Well, after seeing the exchange with Ben Shapiro, Rabbi Shmuley got in touch and said he'd like to reply. Here's what he said.
To paraphrase the great Winston Churchill when it comes to Ben Shapiro, never in the annals of Jewish history has one so small been guilty of a sin so egregious over a complaint so petty. Ben, you're complaining about a Purim, like a Halloween costume. You employed and raked in millions of dollars off a host who highlighted that Jews drink Christian blood, that the Israeli Defense Forces are guilty of genocide. Someone who praised Kanye West, who loves Hitler, who killed 10,000 of your people every single day. You didn't create the Daily Wire. You created the Daily Liar, a sewer of racism, that George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose, not because he couldn't breathe with a cop's knee on his neck, and misogyny that Brigitte Macron, the first lady of France, has male genitalia? Are you guys not embarrassed? It's disgusting. But above all else, the Jews are killers. We killed Michael Jackson. We run sex pedophile rings. Ben, this stuff is rancid. It's gross, and you should be ashamed.
The trouble with Rabbi Shmuley is he just doesn't know where the line is. And he's now starting to cross it with every appearance he makes. And it's ugly. It's abusive. It's always ad hominem. And it's increasingly losing the support of most Jewish people. And I think it's a shame. He has a lot to offer. But at the moment, I don't think it's something that people want to see. I had a truly fascinating conversation with nuclear weapons expert Annie Jacobson this week.
There's no such thing as a limited nuclear war. That is an oft-repeated phrase in Washington. It only ends in nuclear holocaust.
At Husky Type wrote, if you knew half of what this woman knows, nothing would ever bother you again. Something as simple as computer error could launch a nuke at any time, creating mutually assured destruction. Yet we are consumed by our petty differences every single day. Somehow knowing all this, and she's as cool as a cucumber, really puts things in perspective. Well, I agree with that. I actually found it a fascinating conversation, very revealing and informative, and frankly, quite scary. You should watch it. Well, part of our discussion involved my conversation with another scientific genius. I once interviewed Professor Stephen Hawking shortly before he died. Turned out to be his last television interview. And I asked him, you know, actually, he thought the biggest threat to mankind was artificial intelligence if it learned how to self-design.
Yeah.
At P.P9875 commented, Piers never misses a chance to tell his audience he was the last person to interview Stephen Hawking on television. I don't know. As I interviewed Professor Stephen Hawking just before he died, his last television interview. Professor Stephen Hawking, before he died, gave me his last television interview. And Professor Stephen Hawking, in his last television interview, was with me, as it turned out. Like I mentioned to you before in a previous interview, I did the last television interview with Professor Stephen Hawking. I interviewed Professor Stephen Hawking in his last TV interview, actually. I did the last interview with Professor Stephen Hawking before he sadly died. I asked him, what was the biggest threat to mankind? It was when artificial intelligence learns to self-design. It was a fascinating insight into that remarkable brain that he had. I'm very proud of that. I'm very honoured that that was actually the last time he gave a television interview. It was a brilliant interview. Why should I hide it? And also, what he said was so relevant. He talked about the artificial intelligence threat to mankind. What could be a more important message? So, yeah, I'll keep banging on about it. And if you don't like it, or something else.
Thank you.
The news that Princess Catherine is undergoing treatment for cancer was the subject of an emergency roundtable discussion this week, and royal historian Tessa Dunlop was in reflective mood.
I wonder if you and I shouldn't both publicly apologise, Piers, because I sat with you on your platform and we speculated as to why the future king hadn't turned up at his late godfather, the ex-king of Greece's memorial service in Windsor. We speculated as to what had happened to Kate, whether she still had the will for the job and the role, which she expressed, I thought, very poignantly in that video, explaining it gave her great joy.
Now, I naturally encourage viewers to be uncensored, whatever they want to say about the show or me. And as usual, you didn't hold back. Piers, listen to you makes me feel sick. Well, don't listen to me then. The way you justify your bullying of her regarding the picture and hiding behind the public wants to know. The majority of public didn't want to know but wanted the media to respect Catherine's privacy. Actually, that's just complete and utter baloney. And the biggest hypocrites in all these royal sagas are always the British public. You know what I'm reminded of? I remember in the aftermath of Princess Diana's death, when the British public went out on the streets to berate the media for being intrusive, for going too far, for invading her privacy. And then when the hearse took Diana's body up to Althorp, the family home, if you remember, it was filmed on television the whole way. What did we see the entire way? We saw the same British public taking photographs of Diana's coffin, arguably the most intrusive picture of them all. Didn't see any contradiction at all. So I'm afraid the British public, when it comes to the royal family, they don't tell the truth when they're asked about it. They have an insatiable desire for information. The media have a duty to report that information as best they can find it and to ask the right questions. And ultimately, we, the British taxpayers, pay for the royal family. Holding them to account is absolutely fine and proper. It's what we should be doing. What is not acceptable are the outrageous conspiracy theories, particularly about her marriage, which poured fuel onto the misery she was already suffering. And for that, I blame a lot of American hosts like Stephen Colbert, But I also blame a lot of the public who are now whining about leaving her alone for embracing all this nonsense on social media. Look in your own backyards. You say sorry. I've nothing to say sorry about. I invited a friend of this show and buddy of Elon Musk, Professor Gad Saad, to give us his insight into Don Lemon's disastrous interview with the aforementioned billionaire.
Look, I'm not sure that Elon has a thick skin. I think he's got a huge bullseye on him. He gets attacked more times than a human mind.
Gordon Morris gave us this insight. Elon simply doesn't suffer fools gladly, nor loaded questions based upon false premises designed to insinuate accusatory derogation. Well, it's complicated. I think Elon is a genius. I think he's an incredibly smart guy. He's the richest and most successful business person in the world. But he's got a thin skin, like a lot of people who get to be very rich and successful, probably not surrounded by many people that actually take him on or question what he says. And that's why he wouldn't do an interview with me in the end, because he didn't like a bit of mild criticism about him bringing back Alex Jones. I think that's a shame. I agree with 90% of what Elon Musk is about, and the 10%, well, he should better suck it up, as I would about myself. So hopefully I'll get my own interview with Elon, which will be a great interview, and we can repair all the damage.
You're so near and spring is everywhere.
And finally, actress Sydney Sweeney, who for some unknown reason my male producers seem, well, one in particular, seem unhealthily obsessed with, also came up in my one-on-one with Gad Saad. A meme went viral showing a picture of Sydney Sweeney next to Dylan Mulvaney and asking, which way Western man? To which you responded on X by saying, Sydney Sweeney is breathtaking. So I'll be right in thinking you've taken sides there, Gad.
Well, of course, I have since learned that for me to have picked a woman that had a vagina rather than a penis made me transphobic. I still couldn't help but allow my biological imperative to find Sweeney slightly more attractive than the equally beautiful other woman with a penis.
At Razia wrote, Gad professing his affection for Sweeney demonstrates he's both an intellectual and a man of culture. Well, he just means he's human. I mean, she's an extremely attractive lady who has, I think, views that are quite refreshing in this day and age of censorship and a man-hating. So I'm all for Miss Sweeney. Long may she reign. That's it for this edition of Morgan's Mailbag. Remember, you can watch all of my past interviews, debates and monologues on the Uncensored YouTube channel. We are hurtling towards 2.5 million subscribers, so like and subscribe to become part of our growing community. Until next time, keep your comments coming as always, and keep them uncensored.